Thank you, Ronnie. Thank you for that good singing. Thank you, Ken. We're going to be talking this morning about Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. But ultimately, if you think about it, the resurrection of Jesus is the most powerful event in recorded history. It is the reason for old folks like me to have hope, because we have a Savior whose tomb is empty. There are people worshiping prophets and all sorts of people around the world that got a problem. Their Savior is dead in the tomb, and we don't want to go and stay there. We want to hope. And so this morning, the first thing for you to see was the tomb empty and the angel sitting on the rock and the soldiers scared to death because the earth was trembling. God had showed up and things were happening. And there's going to be some great day that Jesus Christ is going to return, his angels with him, and they're going to shake the ground that we stand on. In fact, Peter said it's going to all be burned up. And those of us, I spent a while in the space industry, those of us that did that know that all you got to do is turn off the gravity machine and all of this comes apart at the seams. It flies in all directions and there'll be parts flying everywhere. I don't know how he's going to do it, but he said it'd be burned up. And so at that time, we have hope. Paul said in Ephesians 2, I believe it is, that we were at one point, we Gentiles were without hope. But now we have the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to be focused on that. I'm getting ahead of myself because I'm supposed to tell you the lead up to that, him being the King of Kings and how he got there. And we're going to do that. I was in 1993, I was in Ukraine, and I was with somewhat that I call the high-dollar preachers, you know. I'm just a tent-making preacher. That means I'm not worth enough to pay. So they give me a little expense money, okay? So we're sitting in, and we went to this assembly, and people were having their things and so forth. When they finished, they asked, is anybody wants to have anything to say? You know, just like they did that in the synagogues, by the way. That was common. That's how people got taught. Okay? Anybody have anything to say? Well, one of those preachers said to me, Joe, you're on. So I stand up to speak. What are you going to say to those people? Well, what I said to them is very much without the PowerPoint, but very much what I'm going to say to you today. And we talked about that, and some of those people that were in that very group were baptized and become very faithful members of the church and Donetsk, Ukraine. Jesus Christ, he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And this morning we want to express that to you. Why Jesus? Why Jesus? And I want to commend Dennis for getting this together. And this, he has worked and worked on this for years and years. I was texting back and forth with Mickey yesterday. We were talking about the radio program. By the way, let me do an ad for 8:30 on Sunday morning. You can hear me, Owen Solomon, and our Randy Lane on the radio, WJCR 90.1. You can get it on your phone, and you can just put it on your belt, which I do a lot of times because I'm getting ready for church, and you just listen to it. You hear the whole thing where you don't get a picture, and that's good, okay? You just see the three of us together. You know why you don't need a picture, okay? But listen to that, 8:30 on Sunday mornings, and you can hear the gospel preached on WJCR 90.1 FM. But like I said, you can get it on your phone, wjcr.org, not com, but O-R-G. And so that'll pull it right up, and you can listen to that. Right behind us is Mark Weaver from the Clarkson congregation. And we're looking at getting In Search of the Lord's Way. They've quoted us a real good price on that, so we're looking to get that as well. David Goins here. David Goins gets more work done to the church than anybody I know. So thank you, Lord, for David and Frankie Goins and their two kids. Why Jesus? Because he's the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. The scriptures say in Revelation chapter 19, verse 11, the last writer in the New Testament, now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. His name is called the Word of God. You got it in your hands there. His written word. He spoke it into existence. How will he end the world? He'll say it's over, or some such words, and it'll be over. Because when he speaks with power. He spoke the universe into existence. He this day is sustaining, according to the Hebrew letter, this earth, the air you breathe. Where did oxygen come from? Well, Jesus put it there. And so you just keep going, okay? And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes forth a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. I talked about being in Ukraine. What are we doing there? We were striking that nation with the Word of God, right? That sword comes out of his mouth. That's the sword he's talking about, the sword of the Spirit, okay? And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. He had on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Why Jesus? Because he's the King of Kings. He has sovereign power. And he has sovereign power more than any king that ever existed. Why Jesus? Because he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There's 3 points I want to make to you this morning. You know, preachers always do 3 points, don't they? That's what they teach them in school. So I just did what they did. I know they knew more than me. So God promised this king, okay? Time confirmed this king. And the third point we want to make, and believers know that he is the King of Kings. And so let's look at that. God promised this king in prophecy. And that's what I talked to those people about that good Sunday morning in Ukraine. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. God is talking to the devil, and he's telling him how it's going to be. And he's telling the devil, you're going to have some success, but ultimately, I'm going to bruise your head. I'm going to give you a fatal blow. I'm going to take control of you. Jesus did that. You talk in the Revelation, when you talk about the devil's power being removed, that happened when Jesus is at the cross. The power that the devil had to possess people and make them crazy and put them in a graveyard somewhere and doing all sorts of things and running around naked, as the Bible records, that's been stopped. The devil has been chained. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. Notice the her seed is in capitalized. It's not the seed of the Jews, as they thought when Jesus came. It's Jesus Christ he's talking about, okay? God promised this king. Now the Lord has said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. Remember, Abraham lived among idolatrous people. God chose him for a mission. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all families of the earth shall be blessed. These are precious promises. I'm reading from Genesis chapter 12 in your scriptures if you want to follow along. Of course, at the bottom of the screen, I have that for you. The scepter shall not depart from Judea, nor a lawgiver from his between his feet, until Shiloh comes. I bought this in Ukraine, and they said this is a scepter. And as I understand it, a king would hold this, you know, and if he pointed this at you and said, get that man out of here, you were out of here. I suppose when John the Baptist's head was cut off, something of that nature happened. Certainly in a former setting, the king had this. I looked at the web, just doing a little chasing on my phone this last week, And usually, quite often, these things where they weren't intended to be, but quite often they became for kings to look like a staff, and they'd have some ornament on the top like this. But the original concept, I think, is this, and it's a symbol of sovereign power. The king had sovereign power, okay? And so that's what he's talking about. They understood what a scepter was, okay? And she said, the scepter's not going to part from Judea. If you follow the history in the New Testament, well, for that matter, in Old or New Testament, you will get the concept that he's talking about here of that's not departing from the Jews. It left the Jews when? At the cross. And it's pretty much left them completely today because they will not accept Jesus Christ as God, as the Savior of the world. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not in year. A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel, the prophet said. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain that filled the earth, according to Daniel chapter 2. What's he talking about? What's that stone? That's the stone that's penetrated all nations of the earth and brought Christianity to them. In spite of leaders, if people have to, they sneak in across the border to preach the gospel. When we went to Ukraine, there were already people there that were preaching the gospel among the communists. And when we first went there, it was difficult because they were still communists. They hadn't bought in, largely the population hadn't bought into this concept of being friendly with the great enemy, the great wicked enemy. That'd be y'all, okay? That'd be us in America. Okay, and the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the earth. And that's what the church has done today. That's what the King of Kings has done today. God promised this king, and in the days of this king, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom. Daniel said that will never be destroyed. And that's where we have hope, isn't it? And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. I sometimes tell elders, God never left this kingdom to you. Okay? He let you prune around the vines, but he never left this kingdom to any eldership, any pope, any bishop. He continues to rule in the kingdom through his word. Think about that. That's not to mean say that we don't have responsibilities, but we're all servants. That's why Jesus told his disciples, you're not going to be leaders and rulers like the Gentiles. Okay? You're going to lead by your example and the way that you live and the wisdom that you have from God's holy word. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. God promised this king, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is to mean, or which is translated, God with us. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. He will reign over the house of Jacob and forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Luke chapter 1, verse 33. Okay, we're moving pretty quickly because we don't want to run out of time here, somebody give me a signal if I start running over. Of course, when I was speaking that day in Ukraine, they didn't worry about time. We tried to do a Wednesday night service with them, you know, and it came, you know, they said it was an hour service, and they said, no, you can't leave. You're not done yet, okay? And we may be 10 o'clock, and they just keep asking questions, okay? Biblical questions that they wanted answers, okay? Wayne knows about that. He went, his daddy went many times, okay? I was over there with him like the froze to death a time ago, okay? Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. This king is not like anything the Jews expected. What the, you know, they were used to seeing what the Caesars did and others. You had a great victory, and you got this big white mule, and you got this entourage of soldiers and other people, and you rode in. You had a celebration day, and the mayor rode in, the king actually, rode in the town, and everybody celebrated the great victory, and all the people had been slaughtered, and all the enemy had been killed. And here comes Jesus. He's not wanting to kill anybody. He's wanting to save souls, and he's riding on a donkey. Now you wonder, well, how did he get that donkey to behave? You know, a donkey had never been ridden. He's God. That donkey knew he better behave, okay? You never thought about that before, had you? But you did today, Wayne. Okay. He is God. Behold, your king is coming to you. Assuredly, I say to you that there are some standing here who will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God come with power. Matthew, that'd be Mark chapter 9. Luke also says the very similar, same thing. Verse 1, the kingdom was coming with power. That's an important verse. God just sticks stuff in. He knows it's going to be needed 1,000 years or 2,000 years down the road. Somebody will start talking about the kingdom coming today. Uh-uh. It's already come. Jesus says it's coming in the lifetime of those people. Okay? Some standing there is going to say it. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. In other words, it's not a kingdom designed to overthrow other kingdoms with a sword or a spear or an atom bomb. It's designed to penetrate the hearts of people and turn them to the Lord and turn them to His Father in heaven. My kingdom is not of this world. It's of the spirit world. In Ephesians chapter 6 tells us we are in a big time war with the devil. We're not fighting some wimp like those leaders in China and those leaders in Russia. We're dealing with people that have power beyond us. And the only way we can defeat them is by the name of Jesus Christ. Now, Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. It's interesting how God gets his messages out. He has Pilate to write it and put it on the cross. Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. That made the Jewish leaders just downright mad. They weren't angry. They were mad, okay, about that. But Jesus had it put up there and couldn't get Pilate to take it down, okay? They went past it. What you put up there? He said he was king of the Jews. And Pilate said, no, I've done what I've done. Sometimes God works through people we don't understand. I think that about our current president. I don't. Some things he does I don't particularly like. But he's doing things that I think God wants done, that has not been done by other people that promised to do us for. So I don't know if that's what's going on. You pray about it and think about it. And because we ought to pray for all of our presidents. We don't need to be a party to this kind of name-calling and mistreating people, whether it was this president or the past, whereas that's not our responsibility as Christians, okay? Time confirmed that this king has arrived, and all authority, he says, has been given to me in heaven and earth. He's about to give us our marching orders in verse 19 of Matthew 28. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to set upon his throne. Talking about the throne of David, Acts chapter 2. Many of you could quote this. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly, God has made that Jesus, that boy born in Nazareth, born in Galilee, born in the wrong location as far as the Jewish leaders were concerned, that boy from the sticks in Galilee who had an accent that they could recognize and said, Peter, you know, we know where you're from, boy. You talk just like that bunch from Galilee. They don't know nothing. Nothing good ever come out of Nazareth, okay? Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this Jesus, the one that he announced to the shepherds in the middle of the pasture field, and the one that, well, the wise men found out about. This very Jesus is now Lord and Christ. He is the King of Kings. Isn't that powerful? Time confirmed that this king has arrived. He is Paul told Timothy that he is the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, where no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. He's the King of Kings. Notice what he said, who alone has immortality. Another translation says, he owns it. He owns it. Isn't that powerful? You want immortality? You want to live forever? You want to quit aging? Jesus has got it. He can fix it. And we've been promised in 1 Corinthians 15 that we will get that immortal body because the owner is going to show up and he's going to bring the angels and they're going to open the tomb for us, okay? And we'll get that immortal body dwelling in unapproachable light. Let me tell you something. I'm not trying to convince you of anything, but I want you to know something. I know a man very well, and he was a white-collar alcoholic. And I was in the emergency room when the doctor said, after they'd done their examination and stuff, the doctor looked around and he saw his family. Dorothy and I were standing there, and he says, "You got 3 days. You will not survive the withdrawal you're about to go through." He said, "If you need to get right with the Lord, you better tend to it. If you got things you need to settle with these people or other people, you better settle them, because you will not live more than 3 days." He spent the awfulest time. He survived. And one day I'm sitting by him, he said, "I want to tell you something. I'm not trying to convince you of anything, but I want to tell you something." He says, "When I died, when I was going through that withdrawal," and he said, "I fell in this deep black hole." And he said, "I just kept falling." And he said, "It's the awfulest feeling, and it's as awfulest black dark I've ever seen in my life." He says, "I'm not trying to convince you anything." And tears are rolling down his face. "I'm telling you what I experienced." And eventually he said, thanks to the prayers of the church, he began to rise and he was able to get out of that deep, dark hole. And he woke up a couple of days later. He was my brother. And we were on a Sunday afternoon, Dorothy and I had visited him. The whole room was full of people. I couldn't talk to him about Jesus. I'd write him letters. I'd send the preacher. I'd send the deacons or the elders or whatever to visit him. And he was a good guy. Most people did not know he was a white-collar alcoholic. He was basically run the county. But we got ready to leave, and he says, "You can't leave until you leave prayer." You know, the whole room was quiet, as an old friend of mine used to say, you could hear a rat lick lard. We were all in tears, and we prayed with him. And as soon as he got home, he called the elders of the church, and he said, "I need to clean this up. You get together, and y'all bring the preacher down to my house, not able to come there. And we need to clean this up. I've not been living right. It's time I started acting the way I was raised." And so he restored himself with the help of God. I told you that to tell you this. About 3 years later, he's in the emergency room and he has a heart attack. And he dies. It took a host of doctors and nurses 3 jolts without a shock machine that they used to bring him back. And of course, when I visited him, I wanted to know what he saw, because he'd been dead for about 6 minutes before they could get his heart to beat again. And they were concerned, as you know, about brain loss. You lose about 10% of your brain power per minute, brain damage. And so they were concerned about that. Anyway, he says, I saw in a light like I had never seen. He said, "I felt a pleasantness I had never felt." You remember he's in that dark hole and he's fighting and scrambling to get out of there? I said, "Did you want to come back?" He said, "As much as I loved my family and wanted to be back here, I did not want to leave that place." Jesus dwells in an unapproachable light. That angel that appeared, you remember Moses? How his face shined after he'd been at the burning bush. That angel that appeared at that tomb when the ground shook, there was light like people had never seen, brighter than the sun. The scriptures talks about it regularly. Jesus Christ, King of Kings, dwelling in unapproachable light. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. It is he who was ordained by God to be the judge of the living and the dead, Acts chapter 10. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded he is able to keep that which he's committed to him against that day. That's why we can stand here today and have great faith. One of the reasons. Because we know whom we believed. We know he's able to deliver. We know that the resurrection happened, and we know that He owns immortality, and we know that He can bring us back from the tomb. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. By the way, copies of this are over there, so you can just take them home with you and preach them to your spouse or anybody you want to, okay? These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome him, for he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and those who are with him are chosen and faithful. Called, chosen, and faithful. I want to talk to you about that in just a moment as we close. Those who are with him are called, they are chosen, and they are faithful. I know a lot of people that do pretty well the first two of those hit the wrong button. In other words, they probably are called, and they are chosen to serve God. But you know what they don't do very well? Right there. They're not faithful. They can't live it. They can't walk the talk. Talk is cheap. Question is, with Jesus, can you walk the talk? Okay? Those who are with him are the all three of those things. They are called by the gospel. They are chosen by the Lord Jesus Christ by the process that he has given us, the plan of salvation. And we must be faithful. Be not weary in well-doing, Paul told those at Corinth. Okay? Question I have for you, are you with him this morning? Here's how believers were called, chosen, and faithful to him in the New Testament. Number one, having recognized what they had done, they'd killed the very Son of God the Jews had that are present on Acts chapter 2. Having recognized that, they want to know what they need to do. And Peter said, you need to repent and be baptized, every one of you, for remission of sins. That's where the blood is. It's in the water. We mentioned remission of sins and blood just a moment ago. Okay? And those, here's a very important thing. Here's why people can't remain faithful. They don't gladly receive the word. They gladly receive baptism. In many cases, because they needed it and their weight of sin was wearing them out. But once they come out of that water, they can't gladly receive the preaching on Sunday morning and the Bible class on Wednesday night. And so our challenge is to help people gladly receive God's word. To help people not repaint God in the image of themselves, to accommodate their sin and their lifestyle, but to grow, to love the lifestyle that Jesus is advocating for us. Those that gladly received the word were baptized, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Everybody I talk to in Lebanon Junction, every now I do talk to a few people here in E-Town. Prayers, they are wearing Jesus out with prayers. I call them 911 prayers. You know, I'll call you 911 when I need you, otherwise don't bother me. Isn't that the kind of prayers most people are praying? They want Jesus to come running when they got a problem. But when Jesus wants them to come running, they've got an excuse. You can read about them in the Bible. You know, some of them bought some cattle. Some of them bought some land. Some of them are, you know, one time God said, you know, y'all's house is in great shape, but my house is a mess. Okay, we need to attend to the Lord's house. Ken, Bishop knows that. Don't we? We need to attend the Lord's. Continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That means you got to hear the preaching. You got to hear the word. You got to be in the fellowship. Be in the Lord's Supper. Yeah, and then you're ready to pray. You know, I don't think that order just happened that way. You're ready to pray. And Jesus is ready to listen when you're doing what? When you're doing those things that are mentioned right there. Praising God and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Paul told the brethren at Rome, he said, the good news, and I use the easy to read version here, the good news is about God's Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. As a human, he was born to the family of David. But through the Holy Spirit, he was shown to be the powerful Son when he was raised from the dead. The crowning event of all of history is Jesus Christ being raised from the dead. And that's why I use that as a background to these PowerPoints that we're talking about this morning. Why Jesus? He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. He has on his robe and on his thigh a name that is written King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Revelation 19. Are you with him? Are you with him? Are you just talking about it? Okay? Are you with him to the extent you're willing to sacrifice? Are you called and chosen? And are you faithful? Ronnie's going to sing an invitation song. If you're not with him, I mean with him, being faithful to him, walking to talk with him, won't you come while we stand and sing the song that Ronnie has selected?